ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn, and it is time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness. And what a strange part of the world we delve into today. And yet, it ought not be. Gordon Lynch is our guest from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Gordon, this morning we're going to talk about urine. And it is something that most people encounter, several times a day if they're healthy. More times a day, perhaps, if they're not healthy. But your urine is a very good indicator of your overall health. That's basically the message today, isn't it?
It is. And normally we just go about our business and really don't give it a second thought. But what I want to sort of convey this morning, the message is about just perhaps take a look and you'll be very surprised with how much your urine will tell you about your health. And it can be a very good warning sign for many other things. So I thought it was an interesting one to cover. And I think it's just something, if we take responsibility for our health, it's something we can report on if we have to see a doctor or whatever. In many cases, they'll ask you to take a urine sample as well.
Okay, well, let's start with that urine sample. What is it that a doctor is looking for when they ask for a urine sample?
Yeah, so they're looking, they ask for these things because urine is a waste product from our body. So we have made up of water and molecules that are filtered by our kidneys, get in from our bloodstream into the kidneys. And so the urine can actually tell us some important information about diet and how our body's performing. So the colour of the urine, how much is produced, the composition of the urine, it could be the different makeup of the chemicals and molecules in it. It can help identify a range of diseases. It could be diabetes could be detected, other metabolic disorders. It could detect bladder and urinary tract infections. So, this urine sampling is of course widespread because it's very important for that health detection, but it's also used to pick up the presence of toxins, and it's widely used to detect drugs and substance abuse and performance enhancing substances in athletes. So we hear a lot about that in the media about different tests, especially around Olympics time and so on. But you don't have to wait for a doctor's visit. You can keep an eye on the colour and how much urine you're passing it, and it can actually be very helpful in terms of monitoring your own health.
I remember you once saying that healthy urine should look like gin. That although we often associate urine with the colour yellow, in fact it needs to be clear, really, to be a better example of how fit and healthy we are.
I think gin might be pushing it. I think healthy urine.
Well, your words, not mine, Gordon.
Well, it's usually clear, but it's slightly, mildly yellow. A slight yellowish colour is fine. Straw coloured, perhaps, and a slight odour. And the first thing to realise is that certain foods and drinks can actually have a dramatic impact on the colour and the smell of our urine. So, if you have a salad with a lot of beetroot, for example, I'm recounting one of my own stories here, you might find that your urine looks blood-coloured, and it gives you a bit of a shock. I felt quite alarmed when I first saw it, but it's the pigment in the beetroot that turns cooking water red. It's the same thing that can turn urine red as well. So blackberries and rhubarb, they can also cause urine to be red-coloured. Carrots, carrot juice, high doses of vitamin C, that can sometimes cause urine to be orange-coloured. B vitamins, that can turn urine green. Some medications can change colour as well. So coffee is one thing that can affect the smell, but the most powerful example is asparagus. The asparagusic acid in asparagus produces many sulfur-containing byproducts, and that can give your urine sort of a rotten smell. And that smell can be detected as early as 15 minutes after you eat asparagus and can last for up to 14 hours. So not everyone, and I must say that, not everyone produces the smell, and some people can't smell it either. But for many of us that have asparagus, you notice it very soon after you've eaten it and you've gone to the loo. So look, if there's a sudden change occurs in your urine, before you get too worried, the first thing to think about is what you've consumed over the last day or two, the answer may be as simple as a particularly colourful salad, but it may not be as well. So we just need to do our due diligence on that.
Okay, so if it's not the salad or something else that you've eaten, is there anything else that might change the colour of your urine?
Yeah, I think if you've got more serious concerns, so if it's health problems like a urinary tract infection or diabetes can change the smell of urine. For example, diabetes, the urine may smell sweet from excess sugar. If you have foul-smelling urine, it can often indicate bacteria from an infection. But the things you're most likely to notice about the urine is probably, you know, its colour and how much of it you're passing. So if you're well hydrated, your normal urine is that straw colour, you know, ideally gin clear, maybe that would be lovely, but I think straw coloured is pretty normal. But if you haven't been keeping up your fluids, or you've been having diarrhea or vomiting and you're dehydrated, your urine will be dark coloured and it may smell of ammonia. And if that's the case, you really need to increase your water intake. But if your urine's always dark, then you may have problems with your liver and you need to get checked by your doctor straight away. So these are the sorts of things that we can monitor ourselves. It could be about diet, you rule that in or rule that out, and if it's something a bit more sinister, then okay, it's consistent, whatever, you need to get checked by your GP or your specialist straight away.
All right, Gordon Lynch is our guest as we talk urine this morning on ABC Radio Overnight. Now, that's one thing, isn't it? Or there are several things, the colour, the smell, things that might affect your urine. What about, though, if it becomes a little bit more serious and perhaps you see blood in your urine? That can be, I'm sure, very, very concerning.
Yeah, so we're getting into the serious, more serious things, you know, urinary tract infections, kidney or bladder stones. If you have an enlarged prostate in men, or if you have trauma to the kidneys, to the bladder, to the urethra, that, you know, so the tubes there for our excretion of the urine, that can cause blood to appear in the urine. You know, when I was growing up, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were the two heavyweight champions that used to duke it out, and it was just very, you know, it was a big part of our lives when we were kids. And I remember that Muhammad Ali was said to have urinated blood for days after his boxing matches with Frazier. Shocking. Because they had these devastating blows inflicted on the kidneys. I mean, clearly, it's just absolutely terrible.
I remember hearing the same thing about footballers as well.
Yeah, and so trauma to that area, which of course can happen from impact injuries or whatever. Of course, if it's that sort of, if it's fighting and they're raining blows on each other, then of course that can happen as well. Some athletes can actually experience blood in the urine if they perform extremely strenuous exercise. So marathon runners or long distance triathletes, sometimes, not many, but some may experience that. If there's no obvious explanation for having blood in the urine, then you need to check with your doctor straight away. So, you know, a couple of other things, a couple of checkpoints here. I mean, protein in the urine, that can cause it to become foamy. Cloudy urine could mean, you know, one of those infections like bladder or urinary tract. And often there's an increased urgency to urinate more frequently. So you may have a burning sensation when you're passing your fluid as well. So there are a number of things to check here. And it's graded from, yes, something as simple as what the foods and what we eat and what we drink, but it could also is these health monitoring things. It's the first thing we might check ourselves to report to our doctor, I'm experiencing this, does it mean something?
So burning sensation upon urination is also often associated with a sexually transmitted disease too.
That's right. So if we've got that sort of infection that's happening and bacteria and other sorts of things that are there, it's likely to be one of the causes of that sensation.
All right. One of the things that I'm sure people wonder when they're thinking about urine and urination is, what is normal? How many times would a person under normal circumstances urinate during the day? Is it different for men and women? We know that internally there could be, you know, certain things, certainly with a woman, that might make her urinate more often. Certainly if you're pregnant, you urinate more often. So not only the number of times, but how long you urinate. I know someone who urinates for 2, 3, 4 minutes. Now, that seems a very long time to me. I don't know why that is the case. So what do we know about what is normal when it comes to duration of your urination and also the frequency of it?
Yeah, I mean, the duration, typically there's flow rates, of course, but it's also how much volume you have. So the volume can often indicate how well hydrated you are. So in a healthy person normally producing around 100 mils of urine an hour, or about a cup, or 200 mils in about 2.5 hours. So if you're urinating more than 300 mils, you may be drinking too much water, and it might be simple enough to just reduce your fluid intake a little bit. If your volume's too low, if it's down to the 30 mil mark or whatever, then you could be dehydrated as that first warning sign, and you need to drink more fluid. So over the course of the day, if you sort of do those sums, you're urinating anywhere between 800 mils and up to 2 litres of fluid, depending on how much you've been drinking. Look, the physiology of fluid balance is absolutely fascinating. Our body works regulating certain hormones that act upon different tissues and other things to regulate fluid intake. And so it's the fluid in and the fluid excretion to maintain that normal fluid balance is really important part of what we call homeostasis. So that just that general balance of fluid and a general balance of life. We need to pay particular attention, Rod, I think, when we think about fluid, when we're exercising. So especially if we're exercising in very hot weather, so when our sweat rates go up and there's an increased risk of dehydration, so the more fluid you're losing, if you're not compensating for that fluid loss, there's a risk of dehydration. And we've said this many times on the show before, don't rely on your thirst to tell you when you need to drink. You should be well hydrated before you exercise, so consume water before your activity, drink water throughout the exercise and to avoid becoming dehydrated when you're exercising. And the most important thing is, of course, when you're exercising in hot weather is the risk for heat illnesses. So fluid levels are critical in that aspect. So if you're relying on thirst, it's already too late. So we need to do some preparation for the exercise well beforehand to make sure the fluid levels are there. So one way we talk about this is you weigh yourself before your activity, you get well hydrated, and then you weigh yourself after the exercise, especially if you've been exercising for a while, especially if it's been in the heat, and then you consume the fluid to make up the deficit. So simple calculations, but can be quite effective to ensure that you don't get into that level of dehydration, and that will start upsetting that fluid balance once again.
Okay. You mentioned the sorts of things that you might eat that affect the colour of your urine, but what about what you're drinking? Obviously has a direct effect on how much you urinate, but what about what you eat?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Things like salty foods or carbohydrates, temporarily they can sort of reduce how much urine we're producing because the salt and the sugar and the starch, they hold a lot more water in the body compared with, say, protein. We have the concept of diuretics, so caffeine-containing drinks, coffee, tea, cola, many of those energy drinks we hear so much about, alcoholic drinks, especially beer, all of those actually suppress a particular hormone which is responsible for normal regulation of our urination. And so if you suppress that, then you will urinate more. So foods with high water content, watermelon, for example, if you're having a lot of watermelon, that's likely to increase urine production as well. So, the whole range of things, what I wanted to sort of cover was, these basic concepts of colour, of volume and those sorts of things, and smell. But the next time you're in the loo, just pay a little bit more attention to your urine. It can actually reveal a lot about your health, and it can actually provide an early warning of a potential problem in need of medical attention. And if you're in any doubt, make sure you go and see your GP or your specialist to make sure that it's not a major issue. Or if there is, that can be rectified through their intervention.
Of course, it's easier for men than women to have just a quick check. While you are going to the loo, but if you are concerned about it, you really need to pay very serious attention to it. Gordon, thank you very much for that. We will talk to you again same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.